more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Thursday. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin, and this is 1320 WILS. Tonight, we're going to break down this new report by the MDEQ. They say that Line 5 oil pipeline under the Straits of Mackinac can operate indefinitely. Is that really so? We'll find out. But tonight, the president of South Korea meeting with President Trump, this while major escalations occurring, the Secretary of Treasury announcing today that the U.S. is imposing sanctions on a Chinese bank because it's laundering money for North Korea, this while the president considering military options against North Korea. One of this country's preeminent authorities on North Korea is Gordon Chang. He's the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. Also, his other book, The Coming Collapse of China, and Gordon is in Seoul, South Korea right now. Gordon, great to have you on WILS.
Oh, great to be on, and thank you so much.
Yeah, what is it, early morning over there?
It is early morning, the sun is rising, and indeed it's another cloudy day in the South Korean capital.
Yeah, and what are you up to in South Korea?
I'm delivering a paper on China's relations with North Korea at a conference, which is the Council on Korea-U.S. Security Studies.
Yeah, and how are you received in South Korea?
My view is now starting to become much more accepted because there is concern about China. And indeed, we saw that concern with the Trump administration today because, as you point out, there was the designation of the Bank of Dandong as a primary money laundering concern. In other words, it got unplugged from the global financial system, and that's a landmark decision. Also today, we saw the approval of the $1.4 billion arms package to Taiwan. This comes just 2 days after the State Department refused to give a waiver to China, and it got dropped to its lowest tier in its trafficking in persons report. Yeah. We can see the administration is losing patience with the Chinese over North Korea, and now they're starting to impose costs on Beijing for not cooperating as they should.
Okay, and how do you think China is going to respond to that?
I think China is not going to be very happy with this. They're not used to being treated roughly by an American administration. We haven't seen this in a very long time. Americans have always tried to integrate China into the international system, and therefore we've ignored a lot of dangerous behavior on the part of Beijing. Mm-hmm. We saw, you know, this sort of same approach in the early days of the Trump administration after the Mar-a-Lago meeting, where you had the president again trying to offer concessions to China to get their cooperation. But as we saw in his June 20 tweet, he's lost patience with the Chinese on North Korea. Okay. And so I think we're going to see a raft of measures imposing costs on Beijing.
So are they going to somehow retaliate, or are they going to now change their approach to North Korea?
Well, I'm sure they're going to try to retaliate, but nonetheless, the U.S. holds most of the cards in the relationship. It's just that we have never wanted to play those cards for various reasons. Mm-hmm. Now we have a president who takes a very different view of the relations with other countries, and so he is more willing to impose the costs on China for behavior that undermines American interests.
Okay, so are they going to try to hurt us economically somehow then?
I don't, you know, they can do all sorts of little things, but they don't really want to get into a sort of war with Trump because Trump actually has the political will to do things. That's not to say that he will do those things. Mm-hmm. He could easily be intimidated by the Chinese down the road. But nonetheless, we have not seen this behavior in, for instance, the last three administrations. And so I think the Chinese are going to start to wonder about their basis of ties with the United States.
Talking to Gordon Chang. He's joining us from Seoul, South Korea, where it's very early in the morning right here on WILS. Hey, Gordon, this Bank of Dandong, what are they doing exactly? What were they doing with North Korea?
They were handling funds for North Korea that were violating the Patriot Act. They were basically money laundering. And it's not just Bank of Dandong, which is a small fry bank. This really is just a signal. Mm-hmm. On September 26th of last year, the Obama administration tried to send a signal to the Chinese about money laundering, and where it named Chinese bank accounts but did not impose any costs on them. Okay. Now the Trump administration is imposing costs on a small bank. But really, the big issue is going to be Bank of China, one of China's so-called big four banks, because it was named in a UN 2016 report as devising a money laundering scheme for the North Koreans. Okay. And there were no costs imposed on Bank of China.
So are you saying whether the Chinese are not supposed to have any kind of financial relations with North Korea at all? Or what are they required to do?
Well, The point here is that the administration believes that the Patriot Act's money laundering provision should be complied with. Okay. And essentially, they're not allowing any institution to launder money for the North Koreans.
Is it clear, though, in what way that's being done? Like, what kind of money are we talking about exactly?
Well, the North needs funds to buy, for instance, components and equipment for its ballistic missile and nuclear weapons program. Mm-hmm. The North Koreans have been doing all sorts of transactions in this regard, especially in Dandong, which is a border city over North Korea, over the river from North Korea. Mm-hmm. And so banks in Dandong, including some of China's largest financial institutions, have been implicated in suspicious bank transactions. And this has been going on for quite some time. Mm-hmm. The Treasury has known about this. Prior administrations have known about this, but have not really taken steps that have been effective. And what the Trump administration is doing is it's saying, okay, here's a small fry bank that is handling funds for illicit transfers for North Korea. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to permit this anymore. And I suspect that the administration is willing to go and actually target bigger Chinese banks because a number of them have been involved in the same activities as Bank of Dandong.
So if they stop all of this activity on the Chinese side, where does that leave North Korea then?
It makes it much harder for them to buy all sorts of materials for their weapons programs. And so they'll have to adjust. The last time that the U.S. imposed any sort of effective financial measures on North Korea was in 2005 when the Bush administration designated Banco Delta Asia, which was a Macau bank that was handling money for North Korea, and we designated it as a primary money laundering concern. The North Koreans had to start ferrying cash around in the suitcases of diplomats when they wanted to pay for things. Okay. They very well may have to do the same thing now.
So is our position that no Western bank or no bank really should have any kind of relationship with North Korea at all? Is that what we're saying?
No, it's not that far. There are legitimate North Korean financial transactions, but what we're talking about is attempts to evade scrutiny for transactions involving illicit commerce, including weapons programs. So there is a difference there.
Yeah, Gordon Chang with us here on WILS. So Gordon, this news that the U.S. is now looking, Trump's national security advisor saying they're considering military options now, dealing with North Korea. What kind of options do you think they're really looking at?
They're probably thinking about so-called surgical strikes on the North's missile and nuke areas. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're actually going to do that because the city where I am in, or at least the metropolitan area where I am in, is 26 million people, about half the population of South Korea. Mm-hmm. It's within 35 miles of the demilitarized zone, which separates the two Koreas. North Korean artillery can devastate Seoul. And, of course, they could use their chemical and biological agents as well as their nuclear weapons. So the United States, in all probability, is not really thinking about military options. Yeah. Now, Trump, of course, could change things. I mean, he did use a Tomahawk missile attack on a South Korean, on a Syrian airbase in early April when the Chinese president, a friend of Syria, was standing next to him. So Trump can actually do things which we think would be inconceivable, but I don't think the U.S. is going to actually employ military options at this time because the risk of the South Korean capital is too great.
So, and you're right there in Seoul right now. How much fear would you say there really is in the city there?
I don't think people here think the United States is going to use force, and so there really is no concern. Mm-hmm. You know, the South Koreans have a very different view of North Korea because that, after all, is just the other Korea. They're concerned about the Chinese grabbing up North Korea and permanently dividing the peninsula. Hmm. So they have very many different concerns. And also, they are under threat and have been for some time just from conventional weapons. Hmm. So they view North Korea in a very different light than Americans do.
So the general view is what, that North Korea would never consider a nuclear attack on South Korea?
Yeah, there's a view of that, and it's a dominant, I wouldn't say dominant, but a large strain of thinking here that Koreans wouldn't kill other Koreans, which, of course, you know, if you look back at June 1950 and the start of the Korean War, that's not true. But nonetheless, there is a feeling that this is not going to be a problem. And indeed, the growth of the Seoul metropolitan area is testament to the fact that South Koreans don't really believe that there'll be another general war on the Korean Peninsula. They could very well be wrong. But nonetheless, that's the way they look at it.
Gordon Chang, he's the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, also The Coming Collapse of China. It's Gordon Chang, who is in Seoul, South Korea right now, and he's on WILS. Great to have you, Gordon. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Yep.